Thank you, Sarah. Following on from the Norfolk Magazine, there is the winter edition of Norwich Citizen. Now I'm joined by James McGarry, and together we will be bringing you some of the local news and information desk. Let's start with our first news stories, which include how local test and trace beats the national system, how the County Council hopes to get Norfolk back to the lowest level of restrictions following lockdown, and scaled back Remembrance Sunday services paid tribute to the war dead of the city. With the new national restrictions in place, people made the most of the days beforehand.
Shoppers made a last-minute dash to Norwich before the country entered into a second lockdown. Queues formed outside city centre stores, including the Card Factory on St Stephen Street and Primark on Haymarket. For Carl Forder, owner of the Pottergate Pantry, the past few days have been like Christmas Eve. "It has been really busy, and the past 3 days have been crazy," he said. Trader Eve Parsons, who works at CJ's fruit and veg stall on Norwich Market, said Monday had been the busiest day so far. She said, "It has been a bit busier the past few days, although not as busy as I thought it would be today. No one seems to have done a mad rush, although there is a lot of footfall. We're staying open during lockdown, and every customer so far has checked if we're staying open, so there isn't that pressure to buy from us now."
A couple rearranged their wedding in just 48 hours to tie the knot at the 11th hour to beat the second lockdown. Tony and Kathleen Dakin were due to get married on November the 16th and thought they would just go for it following Boris Johnson's announcement about the new restrictions. After bringing everything forward, they exchanged vows at St Margaret's Parish Church in Ormsby on Wednesday at midday. Under the new rules in force from November the 5th to December the 2nd, weddings and civil partnerships can only go ahead in exceptional circumstances and with 6 guests. However, under the 3-tier system, such ceremonies were allowed with 15 people, meaning they had to get in quick. Mr. Dakin, 70, said, "We were getting emails from friends saying, just go and do it. And we even got one from the minister saying, you have to Wednesday to get married. We looked at each other and thought, we can do it. We had to reorganise the whole thing in 48 hours. With the reception booked at the Old Hall in Caister, Tyrone Harold bent over backwards to ensure they could have a sit-down meal on the busy last day before everything shut up for them and their depleted party of guests. The couple, who live in California near Great Yarmouth, were able to stay the night, but there was no breakfast on Thursday morning, day one of the new lockdown. Mr. Dakin said the experience had been surreal, but the perfect finale to their whirlwind romance. Everybody came to the rescue, he said. Mrs. Dakin, 66, who is registered deaf and blind and hails from Niagara Falls in Canada, said, "At the end of the day, it was our day. It was about 2 people. Because her family could not attend from Canada, she was walked down the aisle and given away by one of her best friends, Mick Bennett, who is also blind, his guide dog Usher being perfectly named for his role on the day."
A pair of buskers have been causing a stir after captivating shoppers in Norwich the day before lockdown. Friends and professional musicians Hayley Moss, 34, from Bastwick, and Bed Lake, 40, from Cringleford, decided to throw a final performance which lasted for 2 hours in the city centre to lift people's spirits before the second national lockdown. They sang a variety of tunes, including showstoppers from musicals Les Miserables and The Phantom of the Opera. Miss Moss said, "It was nice to get out and have a good sing because everything, like Christmas concerts, has been cancelled. It was our last day of busking and we thought we would take our chances and boost people's moods. And we had a really good turnout." Miss Moss said the reaction of the performance, which had been shared on Facebook, was overwhelming. She added, "It's always lovely to get good feedback. The thing with busking is you put yourself out there. With concerts, people buy tickets so you know they want to see you. But with busking, you're never sure if the people are enjoying it or if they think it's pestering. We also weren't sure if people were in the right frame of mind or would appreciate it with the pandemic and everything else going on. But it's really lovely that they have, and was unexpected.
Local test and trace teams are vastly outperforming the national system, sparking calls to give councils more money and powers. Figures show tracing teams run by local public health teams are reaching 97% of contacts of people who test positive for coronavirus. In contrast, the national equivalent, which has been outsourced to private companies at a cost of £12 billion, has badly struggled. Led by Baroness Dido Harding, it is currently reaching around 60% of contacts, meaning each week tens of thousands of cases are being missed. In Norfolk, the numbers are better. It has reached 86% of contacts of those infected in the county, one of the highest amounts in the country. Since launching in May, 2,133 people out of 2,466 referred to it have been contacted. In Suffolk and Cambridgeshire, the numbers are 79% and 81%. The government's panel of scientific advisers has said 8 in 10 contacts must be reached quickly to stop the spread. In its latest report, Test and Trace said almost all contacts managed by local teams were being reached. However, the majority of cases are being handled nationally rather than locally. In Norfolk, Suffolk and Cambridgeshire, the national system is dealing with two-thirds of cases. Alex Stewart from patient group Healthwatch Norfolk said it was still hearing stories of people waiting a long time to get tested. The local system is working very well and public health have done a sterling job, but we are concerned the national system is not, he said. It is being run by an accountancy firm, Deloitte, who do not understand local geography.
Getting Norfolk straight back into COVID Tier 1 after lockdown is the aim of the county council leader, he said. Andrew Proctor also urged everyone in the county to stick with the rules with the new restrictions. People across the country have been told they should stay at home once again, with pubs, restaurants and all non-essential retail, entertainment and leisure venues told to close. Norfolk was in Tier 1, the lowest level of restrictions, up till now. And Mr. Proctor said, what we clearly want to achieve by December the 2nd is to keep Norfolk's COVID infection rates low. So if the current tiers remain, then we can return to a less restrictive position of what is now Tier 1. He said, it's absolutely essential that people show the fortitude that they showed last time around. My fear is that we have come out of this into Tier 2 or 3, it could be very difficult to get out of that. Apart from the factory outbreaks at Ballon Poultry, Bernard Matthews and Cranswick Country Foods, we have had a really low prevalence of infections and we hope to keep it that way. He said the council was ready to step up its response again. We are ready we can be, for the next set of challenges coming our way. We know that the whole country is facing significant restrictions on how we go about our lives and on how businesses are, yet again, having to change. And we know these restrictions have been put in place after detailed consideration of lives versus livelihoods and the potential adverse impact on the National Health Service. The overriding message I can give to everyone in Norfolk is to continue to follow the guidelines. Frequent hand washing, use face coverings in places that require them, and social distance at 2 meters away. Please follow all the things that are in place to protect yourself, protect others, and protect Norfolk.
Respects were paid to former servicemen at scaled down Remembrance Sunday services due to the coronavirus pandemic. A second national lockdown imposed following the coronavirus outbreak meant that Remembrance Sunday services in the same year as the 75th anniversary as VE Day had to be significantly scaled back. The service at Norwich's War Memorial outside City Hall was recorded and later put online so others could pay their respects. The poignant event was attended by just a handful of dignitaries, including General Lord Dannett, the former head of the British Army, and Norwich's Lord Mayor Vaughan Thomas. Reverend Canon Edward Carter, vicar of St Peter Mancroft Church, who led the short service, said, "We gather this morning at the centre of the city of Norwich to mark together Remembrance Sunday, the time when we reflect and remember those who gave so much in the service of peace." Wreaths were laid by dignitaries before the last post was played by a lone bugler. While the acts of worship for this year's Remembrance Sunday were very different due to the coronavirus pandemic, their poignant message remained unchanged. We will remember them. Norwich Cathedral paid tribute to those who lost their lives in battle with a special pre-recorded online service led by the Dean of Norwich, the Very Reverend Jane Hedges, with the address by the Bishop of Norwich, the Right Reverend Graham Usher. In addition to the online worship, she was also joined by the Bishop for a short remembrance service, which took place beside the Cathedral's Field of Remembrance on Sunday morning, with a small congregation of invited guests. The Dean said, "We remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in world wars and conflicts, past and present, have been given and taken away. We commemorate this year especially those whose courage and fortitude brought an end to the war in Europe and in the Far East 75 years ago." The Field of Remembrance, which is located outside the cathedral's hostelry entrance, will remain in place throughout Remembrance Tide, and, in return for a donation, people can dedicate a cross to a lost loved one.
A poignant and eye-opening trail has been created in memory of those who lost their lives during the Second World War. The Old Captain Remembers Poppy Trail, organised by the local Royal British Legion branch, features posters of biographies and photographs of the fallen from the area north of Norwich city centre. Described as a lockdown labour of love by its brainchild, Lindsay Carruthers, chair of the branch, she explained that the project took months of hard work to complete. She said, "It had always been my hope to research the names on our war memorial this year as part of the commemorative 75 years of the end of the Second World War. I had to completely immerse myself in the research, and it took me weeks and weeks and weeks to finalise. The circular trail leads participants around the streets of Olcaton to discover about the lives of the 18 individuals who never came back from the war. One of the people included is Corporal Alan Seeger, who was born 2 months before the end of the First World War and moved from London to Woodcock Road shortly after. A diligent letter writer, he joined the Royal Air Force in 1940 and he kept his family up to date on his life. He married Barbara Cohn on June the 8th, 1941, before leaving with his squadron for Singapore on June the 13th. She was not to know that she would never see her husband of less than a week. He was captured and taken as a prisoner of war, where he was a noted leader, a caregiver, and was known for his writing, completing several short stories. He died caring for others, having contracted dysentery and beriberi. The project was funded by local businesses, including its sponsor Ashley Estates, as well as a grant from Old Capon Parish Council.